praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for getting us through the ice storm that we did not lose power. Lord, we thank you for your mercy there. And Lord, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Jesus, we thank you that you are seated on the throne, that your name is faithful and true. And Father, as we've gathered here to worship you today, I pray, Holy Spirit, you come as your word, as it's read, as it's played, as it's sung, as it's declared. May we encounter you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Prepare our hearts to worship. Thank you. want to pray right. We want to have the words, but groans and utterances and tongues and a prayer language and all of that is it's worship. It's prayer unto the Lord when we don't have words that we can say in and of ourselves. And so I've just been doing that a lot, to speak Jesus, just speaking the name of Jesus. And today, as I was just sitting on the couch, three things came to mind. And I've shared this, I've preached it. There's no greater prayer that we can pray than your kingdom come. Lord, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So he reminded me of that. And Luke. Jesus is talking, and he says, praying. Yeah, it's Luke 10, chapter 2. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. And so, your kingdom come, pray that harvesters would be sent out. And the third thing was, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6. So I'll post that later on the church Facebook page, but those three things just came to mind so vividly. So as I pray, I'm going to pray those things. I just kind of wanted you to have a heads up on that, because I found that really, really helpful. Like, thank you, Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to get down on my knees, because I know you as well. You just feel kind of heavy. So you're welcome to get down with me. You're welcome to come up to the altar. You're welcome to get down. But pray with me. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we praise you that you are the Holy One, that you are the Ancient of Days. And Lord, I thank you. Psalm 2, you sit in heaven. You're seated on the throne. And you laugh because you know what is to come. The kings of the earth take their stand. But Lord, you rule and you reign. And you are the faithful one, and you are the holy one, and you are the worthy one. And Lord, we thank you that your name is faithful and true. So Lord, we do pray. Jesus, you said my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus, we come and we lift up the nation of Ukraine to you. We ask you to have mercy. Lord, I thank you for that there are testimonies that people on the ground that are just saying that they have peace. And Lord, I thank you that you are hiding them under the shadow of your wings. And so, Lord, I pray you would continue. We pray you would protect the innocent. Father, we pray for Russia. And, Lord, I know that there are people that you love in Russia. And, Lord, we pray mercy and blessings on the country of Russia in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Vladimir Putin. Jesus, that you would turn his heart to you. And, Lord, we bless him, because your word says that we need to bless our enemies and pray for those who persecute. And so, Lord, we bless President Putin, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for President Zelensky of Ukraine. Jesus, that you would bless him in Jesus' name. God, you'd give him wisdom and protect him. Father, we pray for President Biden and his advisors, Jesus, that you would give them wisdom in Jesus' name. In Europe, God, we ask you for mercy. We pray, God, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Lord, that you would send forth laborers into the harvest field. Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem today. God, we ask you for mercy in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for those among us that are sick. We pray for Bonnie Williams, Jesus, that you would bless her and you would sustain her. And Lord, just bless her. We speak strength over Bonnie. We bless Jerry in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Pam Pereira, that you would sustain her. Lord, I pray for a good report on the scans that she has coming up in the days to come. Father, you bless her, that you would sustain her in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the Mathis family and the passing of Garrett. And Jesus, we ask you to comfort. We ask you peace. Thank you, Father, for your word that says you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. Lord, we continue to lift up those who grieve in our church family, the Joe Davis family, Jesus, Carolyn Dial and her family, and Gordy and his family, the loss of Marion. Jesus, we just speak comfort and mercy and grace. days ahead. We pray, Father, for Kingsley, who's having a lot of issues with COVID and just weird things going on in his body right now. And Jesus, we thank you that you are the answer. And we ask you to touch his body. We speak peace to his whole nervous system. God, help him. Command that body to come into alignment in Jesus' name. Inflammation to go. Thank you. You're a God who sees and you're a God who hears. Lord, we thank you for anniversaries and birthdays. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful, Jesus. And every day is a gift. We thank you for life. We thank you for life abundantly. Father, we thank you that you're a God who hears our prayers, that you're not distant, that your very name means he saves. Yahweh, your very name means I am here. He's present. And Lord, I thank you for your name. Those who know you trust you. You will not forsake the ones who seek your face. So Lord, we just join our prayers with the prayers around the world. And Lord, we ask for your mercy. Jesus, help. Jesus, heal. Jesus, save. Jesus, have mercy. Cry out to you, God. We thank you that you hear, that you're good, and that you're faithful. We bless you, and we honor you. Jesus shines brighter. Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. We thank you, Jesus. We pray for eyes to see you today. And we love you and we honor you. You're the faithful one. You're the worthy one. You are the soon and coming King. And we bow before you, Jesus, because you are worthy. We ask you to have mercy. Mercy on our land. Mercy on your people. Mercy, Jesus. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your provision. Every good and perfect gift comes down from you. So Lord, we offer our offerings up to you as worship. We pray you'd bless the offerings and you'd bless the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand and we sing the doxology. exhort. You would anoint me. Lord, give me the words to say, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Your word says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, Lord, come. In my weakness, be strong. Breathe. Breath of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 12:11. An angry dragon has been thrown down. Satan. He knows his time is short. Couldn't get Jesus. He couldn't get Mary. Couldn't destroy Jesus. And so he's after us. And John tells us, Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives unto death. Today I'm going to talk about overcoming by the word of our testimony. There's a lot I could say, and this is not initially the sermon that I wanted to preach, but as I was praying about it and just really felt like we have to start here, and then next week I want to talk more about what we say out of our mouths. There's power in what we say out of our mouths and speaking the word of the Lord. And there's power in that. But I'm going to start here this morning. What does it mean? What does it practically look like to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, specifically today, by the word of our testimony? Number one, basically, how does one become a Christian? How does one become a Christian? Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, he says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We are not saved unless we confess with our mouth. There's a power. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Son of God, died on the cross for my sins, raised from the dead. We have to confess that and believe that. And that's our testimony. That's what we say. And yet it's more than what we just say. We can say it, and that's yes, but Jesus himself, what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 16. And I was looking at this morning, and I want to read, Luke's version of that, if I can find it. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to find their life, save their life, will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. In Luke's version of that, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In Luke's version of that, Luke is very, very clear. And he says, Jesus is saying, if you're ashamed of me and my words, when my Father comes, I'll be ashamed of you. And so there's an element of more than just confessing it. Yes, that's step number one, but it's complete and total surrender. It's denying ourselves. It's following Jesus, eyes fixed on him, following him until death. And that's the third part of Revelation 12:11. We're going to get there, but it's absolute surrender. And that actual word for testimony, word in this. The English word. This is the Greek word. Martyrias. You hear an English word in there? Martyrias. You hear the word martyr in there? That's the Greek word for testimony. And I think in the West, especially in the church in the United States, we make it a one and done thing. We've made being a Christian one and done. That if we come up once, knelt at the altar, maybe we were baptized, one and done, okay, I confessed, I did this, and yeah, I'm a Christian, and we just, that's all it is. But a testimony, that's where it starts, but it's living a life sold out to Jesus, fully surrendered in him. And I believe really strongly one of the things the Lord is doing in this hour, especially in the United States, the church here in the United States, is we have drifted so far from the New Testament church that you find in Acts that I think he's bringing a course correction to us. We have made church a business. We've made church a one-and-done thing, and We've made it about programs. We've made it about what we want. We've made it about like this social thing or this business thing. And the Lord's like, no, come back to me. Come back. He's shaking us right now. He's shaking our nation. He's shaking the world because he is coming back for a bride that has made herself ready. And one that overcomes by the word of their testimony. It's not just saying one, praying one prayer, doing one thing. It's a life sold out. It's a life fully surrendered. And that's what God is doing. He's saying, wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up. It's about me. I'm coming back. Get things right. Quit making church all this other stuff when it's about me. And that's what he's doing. He wants us to be focused on him. A testimony. Would we be willing not only to live for him, but die for him? And what does a testimony imply in English? If you were summoned to court as a witness to give your testimony, what does that imply? It implies that you've seen something, right? It implies that you encountered something and you were a witness to something. A testimony, living a life, overcoming by the word of our testimony means that we've encountered Jesus. That it's been more than just a one thing, but we've met him and we're living and we're listening to his spirit and we're reading his word and we're following after him. It implies that we've encountered something. 1 John, the gospel of, writer of John, the disciple John, 1 and 2 John, the writer of the book of Revelation, this is how he begins his first epistle. 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we also proclaim to you. John comes and he says, we have seen him. We have heard him. We have touched him. We have encountered him. And that is my, and John's saying, this is our testimony. One of the besides my own testimony, encountering Jesus, 16 years old, going to church, raised in church, my mom sang in the choir, played the piano. Striking things when I read the Bible, when I read the Bible, besides my own testimony, when I read about the disciples, and they were so afraid when Jesus was crucified, they were hiding. And then the women that came the day Jesus was resurrected early on the first day of the week, early on a Sunday morning, they came and they met Jesus. And the women meet Peter and say, he's risen. He's risen. And that night, still they're huddled. But then when Jesus comes and they encounter Jesus alive, Peter, who had denied him, when the Holy Spirit is poured out in Acts chapter 2, this man that was an absolute coward, what turned him into a coward? To stand up in Acts chapter 2 and proclaim the gospel to them. You don't do something like that unless you're convinced. What changed for Peter? How did he become a coward and then was so courageous? What happened to him? He met men who were huddled together, all of them but one were martyred and killed for their faith. You don't die for something that you just believe in your head. You don't die for something that you just kind of make an intellectual assent to. You die for something that you really believe in. And these men encountered Jesus. Paul, in Acts chapter 22, he's led before, he's in Jerusalem, and he comes before, is it Agrippa? Is it Agrippa or Festus? Acts chapter 2, it's both of them. He ends up, but what does he do? Paul, most intelligent theologian, one who's ever lived, he's brought in, goes to Jerusalem, Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Paul gives his testimony. He tells about what Jesus had done for him, that he had been a killer of Christians, but he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and it literally struck him blind, and it changed the way he thought. It changed his behavior. He was radically saved, and he radically turned, and he not only believed Jesus up here, but he followed after Jesus. One of the reasons I wanted Psalm 121 in our readings today, I'm going to flip really quickly, look at that psalm very quickly. Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is a testimony, you all. It's a testimony of a person that is, look at it. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you or guards you will not slumber. Behold, he who guards Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. He's talking about himself. He's talking about God and what God has been for him. And then in verse 7, it turns it and he says, now the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That psalm is a testimony. It's saying what God has done. Psalm 34. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a testimony. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. The psalmist is excited. He's exhorting the congregation to worship. Why? This is his testimony. Psalmist, David, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. It's his testimony. And what's his exhortation to us? Taste and see. Taste and see. Jesus is alive. It's more than just a mental assent. It's more than just coming down to the altar. It's more than just one prayer that you may have prayed 5, 10, 20, 50 years ago. It is loving Jesus, walking with Jesus, encountering his goodness, encountering his love. Taste and see, that implies an experience. I've been doing a low inflammation diet for about 40 days. And it was my birthday last Sunday, and I splurged a little bit. Thankful for church family that took me out for a really nice dinner. It was fun. And I've been kind of splurging this week. And yesterday, man, I want some ice cream. But I didn't want to get out. And then I remembered that I actually had some ice cream. day of salvation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you will be saved. In His holy, you can be born again. His Holy Spirit will come in, and you can feel Him, and you can taste Him, and you will know a love and a joy that you've never seen before. We overcome. That word, so fun. That word for overcome, this is like a good medieval word. I think of knights in armor when I hear this word. But one of the connotations of that word means to vanquish. To vanquish, to conquer, to prevail against. And I love this one. To win in the face of obstacles. To win in the face of obstacles. How many of us are facing obstacles right now? How many of us see obstacles all around us right now? We overcome. We prevail. We win against the obstacles by the blood of the Lamb, believing that His blood forgives us, believing in His love, and we overcome, we prevail by the word of our testimony. What is your testimony? I'm going to unwrap more about that next week, but it starts with your relationship with Jesus. It starts with that. You can taste, you can experience, and I feel like today the Lord just wants to lavish some peace on us. He wants to lavish a little bit of love on us. He wants to come and clean our windshield, clean our eyes. What do you need to know today? He's Prince of Peace. His love endures forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall run after you all the days of your life. His name is faithful. His name is true. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. And you can meet Him, and you can encounter Him. I'm going to be silent for just a moment. I feel like the Lord just wants to minister. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Come right now. Pray those, Lord, that need comfort, that you would comfort. Pray that those who need peace, Lord, you just give peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one who brings remembrance, what we need to remember. And Lord, those that need a word from you, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd just come and give them a word. Remind them of Scripture. Lord, I pray for any today that have never fully surrendered their life to you. Lord, that they would surrender, that they would say yes, that they would confess. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet